Time for another Kennedy Malloy catch-up. For garden tools with more power and less noise, use Makita's cordless power garden tools. Power over 200 tools with one battery. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And what a beautiful world it is we live in. You should all just thank that you're alive. Oh, what a beautiful place.
What a happy person we have on our hands here, Australia.
Skipping down the street. Feel like I'm in the opening number of a musical.
Welcome to Kennedy Malloy.
Yeah, baby.
Mickey.
Here we go. Big show. What do we got? Who cares?
Well, we've got a big show. We're going to have a chat with Mick Malloy about his beloved Tigers, I'm sure.
Oh,
we'll go into that.
Did we win? Did we?
Yeah.
I love it, Dave.
All right, well, we can read out what's going on under that music.
Well, I'll tell you what, put it, keep it up, Dave. Russell Howcroft will be in.
Dave O'Neill's coming in as well.
I can't wait to talk to him.
And Australia's on school holidays like we are.
We're coming into you from Noosa today.
Hello, everyone.
I'm in board shorts as we speak.
And I call BS, not on that.
There'll be some music news.
Stop it, Jay.
MG. Let's just get down to it.
How
the world has changed and become a better place. The Tigers nailed their 12th Premiership Cup. You can take it out now, Dave. It was seriously.
Mick, this is the first time I have spoken with you. You haven't told me anything about what happened.
I'll take your word for that.
Mick, congratulations to you and the Richmond Football Club. You're extremely happy.
I didn't do much, to be honest, but Richmond Football Club have bagged their 12th Premiership Cup.
Shall we have a bit of a listen?
In emphatic circumstances. You want to have a go?
I'd like to hear the highlights for yourself.
Magnificent full house. It's the Tigers and the Giants.
Smash the Sharon down to get this thing underway.
Oh, he's going to get a movie straight away. And Martin, Dusty kicks his first goal. The Tigers get there first.
Rioli now from downtown. Dan Rioli has kicked the Tigers second.
And then Marlon Pickett with a pirouetting spinning move. What about that? For the man who's debuting today.
Out the back, Dusty. All sorts of trouble here. The pickup's clean and the snap is good.
Tom Lynch started with a massive injury. He's played every game. On grand final, he kicks his first goal and that is 5 unanswered.
Marlon Pickett on debut in a grand final to kick a goal. Bang! Look at him get around him. They come from everywhere.
Dusty, goal number 4 coming up.
There it is.
Dusty Martin, there's your Normsmith little winner. 4 goals to Dusty Martin.
Jack Revolt for number 5 has kicked his 5th. Brilliant.
And they're going to celebrate the grand final win. It's the Tigers' 89-point win on grand final day.
We really are blood brothers and I can't believe we've done it again. Thanks to all the fans for coming out. Thanks, GWS.
Well, thank God it's a good song. We've heard it enough, and what an amazing experience.
It was an incredible day.
You were there.
I was there, allegedly. You know how much I love the MCG. I've bought 3 houses as an adult, and they've all been walking distance.
It's very spiritual
to the MCG. My last house, 646 steps down, 1,248 back, as they say in the classics. And it's Melbourne's outdoor cathedral, and it was a perfect day that my team lined up.
Oh.
And from start to go, there was just an impeccable display of team football. What a great club. I'm overexcited. So I watched it 4 times. Went back to my place and watched it 4 times in a row.
Well, it's not often because Tigers did pull GWS's pants down and went whackety whack. And it was, was it like watching?
It was great.
Knowing you had won so far ahead.
So it's a rare experience. In most grand finals, you're probably only aware of it in the last, 12 to 16 minutes where you can say we've won this. Mm. We did the same thing with Adelaide is my recollection. We had that done and dusted from a very early stage. I don't care what anyone else says. I've heard the someone has suggested that this may not have been a great game. I beg to differ.
Of course.
It was almost perfect. It was almost faultless. There are so many great stories from Dusty and shining himself as one of the greats to one of the ballsiest first game appearances. Yes,
well, you could say that.
Ever. To the gun recruit Tom Lynch having anchored his spot all the way down. It was
and
a masterpiece
Captain,
of
Cotchin.
Cotchin
and Jack Rewald.
They were just all amazing. They all did their job, and it was just an extraordinary.
Well, it doesn't look like there was anybody who was going to come near them. So that's what it was clear as a bell on
so
the show.
The
so
only disappointment for me.
What's that, Mick?
We didn't get Collingwood on because no one would have beaten us. And it would have just.
Oh, it would have given you a little bit more satisfaction than GWS.
Would have been to ran into that mob. Has a bit of a payback for preliminary final, which went on to yield nothing, I should point out.
Hey, did your twin boys go? Now, this is a big decision.
I can't recall.
Oh, Mick.
Now, they're only seven, and it's a big thing. Also, getting grand final tickets is very difficult.
It's very tough. They've been to about six games this year, and four quarters is a bit tough, and it just felt like this one's for Dad.
Mm-hmm. Also, what's the real reason?
Well, I was stonkered. What am I going to do? It's either or.
They've seen Daddy have a few beers, but, you know, they don't need to sit there. Well, just in...
As my mate Charlie always says, can't wait, because we get four tickets, we go together, he goes, gee, I can't wait till they're old enough to get us beers. And that
well, they are old enough, and one is this Lenny or Freddie?
This is Lenny and Fred, but this is when they were three, and this is good parenting. This is the first thing I ever taught them, which was to sing the Richmond theme song. Fred got cold feet on the day. Yeah. Having only been three, but Lenny soldiered on.
And
got it mostly
right. We'll hear Lenny sing it, and then, Dave, let's go straight to a track, and then we'll talk to you about where we are and what our holiday is.
Our track will be Paul Kelly, by the way, singing live from... Well, how good was he, Dave?
10 out of 10 for Paul Kelly. Hey, guys, he was fantastic. I thought Dean Lewis was great, Tones and I as well, but Paul Kelly is a world-class act, and have him every year.
They're all fine musical acts, but can they match the sheer simplicity and joy conveyed by...
a three-year-old boy.
Young Lenny Walter.
Fighting through we love a dragon. Anywhere we say it's Super Queen with skin allergy. Never mind the father and following with a dragon. We never wake until the final star is gone. Lock the back of the bones, string of the bones with a dragon. Yellow and black with a dragon.
Well done, boys.
Well done, Lenny. Well done, Freddie.
Tigers.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy in Noosa, travelling all around Australia, which is fantastic, which we've all done, and we're taking your stories on your travel trips for the school holidays, 133353. Kennedy Molloy.
I'm doing the show in my Speedos.
Are you?
As we speak.
As I am.
Oh,
not.
In an empty pool bar waiting for them to fill it.
You like to take your top off, I must say. Really, just sort of, you
it's
know.
A something for the ladies.
It's nice and something. Humid.
When I went swimming, I get all the suckerfish attached themselves to me like they do to whales.
Sounds terrible.
Can you tell them? There's a story about Japan Airlines.
There is. Now, this
like
is going to cause a lot of problems.
What is it?
Japan Airlines has introduced a new seating chart. This makes me happy. That will let you know where a child will be seated as you book your flight. Passengers travelling with children between 8 days old and 2 years old.
Yeah.
It will show an icon so you can choose not to sit near them. Now, that makes perfect sense to me because there is nothing worse than sitting next to a screaming child.
I put it to you that if you knew where a young adult with a child was and you knew where a terrorist was... You would, and
which
you would,
is it?
And
is
you
it a
given
line ball?
Where you wanted to sit. It did come down to a line ball, I reckon.
Well, reaction
that's
has
not
been
going to be mixed. Great. You're just going to see everyone moving their seats away.
Well, people have actually got into a bother about this. Mike Taylor tweets and says, "I'd like a map to avoid people who are such assholes they don't understand that babies cry."
Yeah.
Get a life.
You've travelled a lot with young children.
Yes, I have.
Where do you stand on this?
Well, there have been moments where I have looked at Rob, when we have had five very small children. We have five children under six. And I said, kill me now. And I said, I don't know what to do. What can we do? And we just said, this is terrible with a lot of crying children. The only result was we'll never see them again in our lives. Make a run for it.
So do you just let them go?
Yes, because you can't. You cannot.
Are you free range?
Stop a child screaming.
Do you free range your children?
No, I don't free range children. But you can't stop children who've got ear troubles.
You run a pretty loose school. Are you a Finucane lady?
Well, unfortunately, you can't get it over the counter anymore. But I have.
But you're a fan of the Finucane?
For myself. No, because it backfires on people. Apparently, I've heard that people have given a few drops, and instead of making children sleepy, it winds them up. So, yeah.
Well, my technique on the plane today, it's because I knew, like, Dad may not have had a lot of sleep on the weekend, sit in seat D, effectively corralling my two boys between aisle and window, got the person in front to put her seat back. I said, no, please, be my guest.
So you've trapped them.
I've trapped them and then gone to sleep for 2 hours.
God.
Ah, Mickey.
Who knows what they ordered while you were asleep.
You are the winner.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Last time Dave O'Neill was in, he'd been addressing school bullying with his kids.
I said to the kids, what's an example of bullying? And they said, oh, it's like when you say to someone, you can't come to my birthday party. That's bullying, apparently. Well, I started high school in the 70s. You get locked in a metal locker, right? The locker gets carried out the top of the oval, right? You get pushed down the hill, and then before you can get out, someone urinates on you, and then the PE teacher walks past and laughs at you. Oh, look at that dick. Again. And my daughter's like, I'm sorry, Dad, that happened to you. I went, oh, no, I wasn't in the locker, I was doing the wing.
Dave makes a long-awaited Have You Been Paying Attention to Boo tonight, 8:30 on the 10 and Win networks. And he joins us now. Please welcome Dave O'Neill.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, great to have you on board. Are you in the middle of the thick of it and
school holidays? School holidays. What a nightmare.
You'd be the best dad for school holidays. Didn't you go to Europe last time?
Did a bit of a European vacation. Yeah, we can't go anywhere now. So we're just trapped at home.
Spent a bit of time, did you?
How did you go travelling with kids?
We went once with an 18-month-old when we had one kid, and it was a nightmare because he's on a Qantas flight to Europe and he ran up the stairs the first class once, right, and they all laughed. Then after the 20th time, they're like, just keep that kid under control.
This happened to me once. We didn't go on a plane for years after that.
It was traumatic.
Yeah, because it's traumatizing. Yeah. Once just Rob and I were on a holiday and there was a sheik and his wife sitting near us and they had six kids and she went to sleep and he went to sleep and I ended up with a kid on my lap.
Really?
I am not joking. Okay. Yes.
You can be stoned to death for that, Jack. I believe.
And that was Osama bin Laden.
Of his own volition.
I tell you what, it's time for the sheik to wake up.
There's parents treating their children very badly. I was flicking around the radio stations and I heard this kid had been taught by his dad to sing the Tigers theme song. It was the most disturbing thing.
That's good parenting.
Do you know there was a sheik who was a falconer? Do you remember this? And he was flying overseas and he wasn't allowed to take his birds on the plane. Mm-hmm. So he actually hired like a 747 and there is like a falcon sitting on top of every seat.
But that's really cool.
And the Veronicas who didn't like it.
And Will Anderson on his way to Wagga Wagga causing trouble.
Now how are your teenagers going? Because, you know, when teenagers, they just sleep all day.
They do. They've been sleeping a lot. But, I mean, they said the other day, are we good? This is what they say. Are we Gucci? Have you heard this one? Are we Gucci?
No.
That means, are we good? Are we Gucci? Yeah. I said, we're more Kmart, to be honest. We're not Gucci.
Gucci night for you if you keep that up, young man.
And then one of them said the other one was on the gram. He's on the gram. I said, what?
I don't think I like the sound of that.
I know, that's what I said. He said to my wife, he's on heroin. This is terrible.
What does that mean?
Instagram. He's on Instagram.
Oh, man.
Instagram.
These young people today.
Dog act. You have dog act in your house, Jane? Do they say dog act? It's a dog act. It's dog. It's dog man. It's dog act.
I say it, but I use a different word that starts with C.
Oh.
Is it not complimentary?
It's a bad thing, the dog act.
But see, that's not fair. Yeah. The dog to me is nothing but a beacon of hope and a symbol for good. A dog act should represent something like...
That's true.
He's done a dog act. Here they go. It's like dry humping someone in a supermarket.
It's a dog act.
Can't be helped.
But I had to pick up my kids went to the climate change rally.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had to pick up from the railway station in my V8 because it's all about the yin and yang. You know what I mean? It's all
you're saying your V8 vehicle.
My V8 vehicle.
So it's not diesel.
That's right.
It's not electric.
How'd they go? By the way, for everything you read, it was one of the great moments. Oh. Good on you.
Good on the kids. Good on the kids.
I must say there's been a lot of Greta complimentary impersonations in my household, and I must say now, every second line is when someone does something wrong, is how dare you?
Yeah, how dare you? Greta Thunberg, how dare you?
She's unreal.
I admire her immensely. I would like her to have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a child, could she you just get out there?
Go to Hollywood on a golf
course. Get on a swing. Yeah. Get on a swing.
I'll tell you what she has.
Have a slide. Go down a water slide.
She did enjoy that they've put Swedish heavy metal music behind her, and they've made her voice, like Swedish heavy metal bands. And she's said, this is fantastic, and they've made it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but so anyway, she has got a little bit of a humour.
I had to pick them up from the railway station, and there's a woman who lives in a flat near the railway station. She's obviously had people parking in front of her driveway a lot, and she's German, and she now puts her own witch's hats out on the driveway.
German ingenuity days.
And so, because I've seen them, because it's just, I've seen them a lot, and I thought, they're obviously doing roadworks, and I realise it's just her putting witch's hats out. So
well,
I pull him to pick up the kids up, but I run over one of the witch's hats, and then she's like yelling at me and pointing, and then my teenage son has to pull it from under the tyre and give it to her, and it's all battered, and she's yelling at him, and my son gets in the car and goes, Dad, you ruined her witch's hat, and she thinks you're a woman. Really? She was saying, tell your mother she's a terrible driver. She thought I was a woman.
Not a great day for you, Dave. Can you hang on the line, mate? Yes. We're going to chat more with you on the other side of this.
Yeah, Dave O'Neill's with us.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
It is, and Dave O'Neill's with us. Have you been paying attention? Yeah. Back on the TV tonight, 8:30 on Channel 10 and the Win Network.
We were just talking about Greta. Greta, how dare you? And the fact that you're worried she doesn't have a sense of humour. She does have a sense of humour. And we're talking about a heavy metal version of her speech. Have you got that there, Dave?
How dare you? You have stolen my dreams, my childhood, your empty words.
Good afternoon.
I've learned the right ones.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And visually too, they've got it really looking, lots of...
Death metal. That's
awesome. Yeah, death metal.
Just what the climate change debate needed. Right. Yeah. The
Dave
injection
O'Neill.
Of some death metal.
Dave O'Neill, you're on Have You Been Paying Attention Tonight?
Tonight,
yes.
Who else are you playing with?
Are you losing your cherry tonight?
Yes.
Have You Been Paying Attention? This is going over the trenches for the first time. That's interesting. Did you go in and watch it last week?
I did, and so it's a good idea just to see because I'd never seen the show on TV, so I thought I'd better go and have a look. No, I've seen the show on TV. I'm a big Sam Pang fan, and so I went in and watched and sat in the audience, and then I thought, I'm just keeping a low profile. And then, of course, Sam Pang announced halfway through, has anyone noticed there's a comedy legend sitting amongst you? Oh. And then he's like, he's a loser. He can't get on the show, but he's in the audience.
Oh, this is when you're not even on the show.
Not even on the show. I said, I'm going to do the cleaning afterwards too. So, Sam is a friend of mine. He lives in my suburb. He lives like less than 10 minutes.
We've known each other for a long time.
Well, and I have lunch with him, and he always brings a man bag along. What? He turns up with a man, because he always wants to go to a cafe. I want to go to a chicken shop. We're going to a chicken shop.
What's a chicken shop?
Well, just like a takeaway chicken shop where they've got a couple of booths.
If I know Sam, it's probably the cockfights. If I know Sam, I know he's a fan. It's culturally significant for him. When he gets on the chicken shop, that's slang. There's a couple of fights on down the road.
He turns up with like a pencil case, it looks like, with his phone and wallet in it.
What's his wallet?
It's embarrassing.
He is embarrassing. He's hard to get.
How'd you go, Dave? Who else are you on? You got Sam Pang, Ed Cavalier, yourself.
No, Sam's not there. I'm filling in for Sam. I'm in the Sam's seat.
You're Sam.
So, Sheagold.
I'll get ready to cop it tonight.
You're cooked.
Yeah. And,
so, you know how disappointing they'll be?
Yeah, I know.
Because they really like Sam. And then they go, but there's no Sam tonight. But instead, make him welcome. It's Tavo.
I wouldn't be feeling so chipper.
Short of booing, I'd be happy if there was no booing. Do you know what? There'll be walkouts. There'll be walkouts.
That's hilarious.
I know. I filled in for him before on radio. I know what it's like. There's a lack of expectation when I walk. Oh, really? That guy? All right. No, it'll be good. It's going to be a ratings win.
Greta must make, I'm sure. What do you predict?
Be on your best.
Yeah, Greta will be. Greta will make.
What about
an
the
appearance?
Royal? There's got to be something to do with the royal tour
Trump.
In Africa.
Trump.
What's going on there?
Oh, they've brought the baby out finally.
Mm.
The baby's been hidden under a blanket for about 4 months. They finally just.
Maybe it's going to be like a reverse adoption. You know, normally we go over there and take their babies. Here's Malia. Here, have one of ours.
Stand by if I call BS because we've got updates.
Are we
going to
do that a little later?
Fantastic.
Hey, good luck tonight, mate. I can't tell, but I've got a really bad feeling.
Have you got any tips? You've been on it before, Mick.
Yeah, just go hard early.
Go hard early?
And then go to sleep.
Can I ask you, how's Noosa?
Here's my tip. Get that little coffee cup they give you. And drink strong alcohol out of it.
Well, I'm sure they offered you something.
No one in the studio audience will have any idea what's going on till you get off your seat and fall over.
I was going to try ice for the first time and just go on.
Yeah, that would have been
a good idea.
Don't recommend that.
Now, how's Noosa going? Because last time I went there, because you, as a southern person, you land in Maroochydore, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I got a taxi. Mm. Getting in a taxi, and the taxi driver always used to hang it on me because I was from Victoria. It really annoyed me.
I think because a lot of Victorians go to
love Noosa
at this time of year. Yes,
but
love Noosa.
Back in the day, you'd land in Maroochydore, get in the cab, and then he'd go, "Oh, you're a Mexican, you're a Southerner, you're a white boy," and I'm like, "Mate, I'm not driving a cab for a living, am I?" Anyway, I walked to Noosa that year. I remember that well.
It's all been friendly so far, but we'll put him to the test a little later on in first hit out.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
We love chatting with you. You know that.
Have you been paying attention tonight?
Yeah, have a look.
8:30 on Channel 10 and the Win Network.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Russell Howcroft is going to join us in the next few minutes. We've got Mark Geyer as well. It's a big, big show. It's Jane and Mick live from Noosa. On the holiday road indeed, Kennedy Malloy.
We are on the holiday road. We're together. Mick is in his Speedos.
Mm.
I'm in my Speedos. Not. And we're on holidays, and we were asking all of you holiday stories. I had a bit of, you know, things happen to me on the way up. I saw people on flights, the Veronicas.
Who are you talking to?
I'm on air.
Oh.
Real professional outfit here. Mick sitting on the couch, not realising we're on the radio.
That's clown of the week. Into the radio awards.
That's clown of the week right there.
This is
who are you talking to, says Mick.
It's been a great week. You're going to love those
tigers. Still recovering from Richmond's win, everybody. I have to say, I apologise for my cohort here. The Veronicas had a feud going with Qantas. And it was a bit confusing. They were upset and confused as to why they were escorted off a flight.
Mm.
And we've actually got somebody who was on the flight with them. Is that correct? That was Jason we've got. Let's go to Jason, Dave. Hey, Jason.
Hello.
Jason, you're on the flight with the Veronicas with all this brouhaha. Can you just tell us, as a independent witness, what happened?
Okay, everyone was on and their seatbelts on. They were in a sort of pushback. And the captain came on and he said, we've just had a slight security issue. We're just going to be a couple of minutes. And everyone went, oh, yeah, something's going on. About 5 minutes later, he came on and says, oh, yes, we're just having the federal police come on just for sort out a problem. Yeah. Nobody had seen a problem. The guy next to me, nobody. Yep. Yeah. I was about 15 rows behind where this happened. So then these two federal police came on and they started talking to some people in a row. And it took about probably 10 minutes. Now, if police come and tell me to get off a plane, I'd stand up and get off a plane.
Yeah, sure.
They did take about 10 minutes to get off. I'll give them that. And next thing, these two little girls stood up because of a few rows. They didn't really recognise them. They were tiny. And off they marched.
Wow.
Yeah, so nasty behaviour.
If the federal plane come up to me and ask me to leave, I usually finish my 50-second candidate and say I broke Bernie's
record. It feels like they
were shocked. They'll never take me alive.
They were surprised and
asked for the Grand Hackett wheelchair and off I go.
There you go, that's true. They refused to follow crew instructions was the alleged incident on the flight to Brisbane and were deemed security risks.
There was no outward signs, right, that there was anything going on, Jason?
No, that's
there was,
true.
There was nothing. Everybody on the flight was going, "Well, what was happening?"
Okay, so since they have flown with Virgin, and they thank Virgin for a very happy flight, but I will say, here's something that people have tossed in. They are about to do a reality television show called Jess and Lisa the Veronicas.
Oh, interesting. Lord.
And I'm just throwing that out there. I believe that they were probably unfairly targeted, and they were. But we can probably see and feel the outcome of this. They're about, you can see them like, you know, it'll be like keeping up with the Kardashians.
Replace the Qantas choir. It just would be the two of them.
Well, they'd be excellent
on a,
at that.
Rock face somewhere.
I think they're so fabulous
still
girls.
Call Australia home.
But it must be a shock.
You're like
to
their
be told.
Mum. You could be their mum.
Well, that's a
you
compliment.
You could be them. It is. But like the Veronica.
As long as they're not
girls,
40.
Get off the plane.
How old are they?
And you come in and go, no, they're about 12.
Well, that's better. Well, I think they're a bit older than that. Bitch. Well, sorry, you don't even know we're on the radio before. So
is the
sing
on? Hello? Hey, can I speak to Bear?
Yes. How are you?
Bear. What, you've had a beef? You've had a bit of an issue on a plane recently? What happened?
So we were on a flight to King Island, and we're all in line to jump on this little plane, and I get stopped. Yeah. And she goes, you're too big.
Oh, my God.
You're too big?
Said, what do you mean?
I said, what do you mean? And she goes, you won't fit in one seat. You've got to pay for a second seat.
Oh, geez.
What are we on, by the way? Can I ask what type of plane? A little Fokker Friendship or something?
No, it was a little 12-seater to go to King Island.
A twin engine.
A 12-seat, yeah. You've got to get two of them. Jeez.
But they're not tight.
Can I say something to you, Bear?
Well, she wasn't sensitive. Sorry, Mick. She wasn't very sensitive. Is that what you're saying
too? Well, I'm 6'9" and a touch over 200 kilos.
Wow. So, Bear, I'll put it to you.
Plus, your name's
Bear. If you're that size, I wouldn't be going to King Island. All they got down there, mate, is beef and cheese. And a reasonably good wine.
Yeah, there's good beef there.
Mate, I go there and I'm fine. When I come back, they make me get two seats. So.
I'm sure there's a subtle way she could have asked.
Give Bear a prize.
What
is
would
it,
you like?
Is he $1,000?
Oh, Bear, yeah. You've won $1,000.
Buy beautiful. Yourself a second
because
seat.
That is weightest and heightest. So
indeed.
There you go.
And it's all thanks to Gemini Man starring Will Smith in cinemas October 10. Another $1,000 tomorrow to give away, by the way.
And by the way, Bear, if that plane went down, I'd tell you, you'd be the first person I eat.
I reckon I'd be eating everyone else.
Like a bear would be a good bear. Yeah. Oh, have a look at that. Oh, I'll have a bit of rump. I'll have a bit of bears.
Oh, you will.
Well done, Bear.
Are we still on air?
Yes, we are. Know.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Because we can't see clocks and things.
Right. Yeah. Well,
should we go home?
Come back to me because up next we've got the great Russell Howcroft to join us as well. Stick around. Yeah, Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, Australia, strap yourself in. It's going to be a beauty. Russell Howcroft about to join us. Jane, you'll be doing an edition of...
I Call BS.
I cannot wait to get to the bottom of that. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
8:30 tomorrow night on ABC, our resident advertising guru, Russell Howcroft, premieres a brand new doco, How Australia Got Its Mojo.
My heroes made these ads.
You ought to be congratulated.
Feel like a twist.
It's the story of two of Australia's greatest ad men.
Enter Mo and Joe.
Alan Mo Morris and Ellen Joe Johnston, a.k.a. Mojo, the creatives behind the ads that helped define Australia in the 70s and 80s.
Come on, Aussie, come on. Australia's new national anthem is still moving up the charts.
Here to tell us more about the doco and talk all things advertising, please welcome back to the show, Russell Howcroft.
Well, hello, Russell.
Hi.
Howcroft.
Hello,
how are you?
Guys,
thank you for
up
joining
there
us.
In
hey,
Noosa.
We,
lucky
we
you.
Are. Well, have you got fond memories of Noosa, have you?
I love Noosa.
Why is that?
I do have very well. I have very fond memories of Noosa. It is a place where. So Kate is my wife. I'm nervous. Yes. I don't want to say anything because Kate might be listening.
I
kissed her. I kissed her for the first time.
For the first time in Noosa.
I
isn't that fantastic?
Well,
that should be.
You know, I'm sure that happens to lots of people. It's
a good advertising
campaign. Sort of a place, isn't it?
Noosa.
It's a very.
Yeah, it would be.
We're going to get to your Mojo doco in just a minute, but I want a couple of things just to get cleared off our desk. The AFL, they're winning a premiership. What's it worth? The sponsors of the Richmond Football Club, or even GWS, for that matter. That's payday for those clubs who have. Pull the right.
They do get a check, so that's pretty awesome. AFL writes them a check, and then from a sponsor point of view, they become more attractive. Again, what happens with both Richmond and GWS next year, they'll have a really good schedule. So you remember, Mick, when Richmond wasn't travelling so well, the schedule, i.e. the fixture that they've got, will be, you know, Sunday afternoon or whatever, right? So
yes,
you get a high rating time slot, which means that the logo that's on your jumper or the logos that are on your jumper are worth more because they're being seen by a bigger audience. Obviously, membership, as indicated by, you know, Richmond, the major membership growth. Hopefully that happens for GWS. You'd really... Yeah. You know, you'd really hope that the those out in the
so there's ongoing benefits, not just this one-off cash injection from the.
No, but this is where you've got to be really, you know, deft management. You can't just let it be a one-off. You know, that's where a lot of footy clubs, not the football club I barrack for, because we haven't won since 1964, so we haven't even had this problem to try and not fix. You know, to fix. But you know, if you're a Bulldogs, for example, and you have a win, you don't want it to be one off. You want to try and find a way to keep the fire burning. Now, I'm not saying you win every year, but you've got to find a way to be top, say, six. Then you continuously are going to get growth, hopefully continuously profitable. I mean, Richmond's going to make $4 million this year. And now what they're trying to do, of course, is work out, well, how can we use that money to get closer to the community? They've done an amazing job. I mean, the culture clearly at Richmond is unreal.
The preparation in preliminary finals for both NRL and AFL, it's so close. So the planning has to be in place. And I was thinking that for other teams, so they've got to plan for grand final events that they have and all that. Yeah. What a crazy couple of weeks it must be for those elite clubs.
Yeah, and also if you haven't done it before, so like a GWS, they hadn't been in that position before. It was interesting to read the Richmond management saying that they did a better job this time round with the post-match stuff, or in fact the lead-up as well. They just did a better job because they learnt from a couple of years ago. Mm. Yes. So that's, you know, although you'd think there'd be a bit of a playbook that the AFL would, you know, they'd send off to GWS. Here's the playbook. Sure. I'm sure.
Do you think there'll ever be a stage where in an AFL grand final or an NRL grand final, it'll be big enough for advertisers to create ads specific for the grand final like they do for Super Bowl?
Well, I can't believe that they don't. Yes is the answer. You know, you've got 3 million people watching, and as, you know, I read, well, last year, someone was saying, well, if you wanted to invent a game for commerce, you'd invent AFL football, because after every goal, there's a minute, and during the course of the minute, you can run advertising. So it's absolutely...
They did feel like there are a few new ads, though, that were revealed, yes. And also, it is an opportunity for Channel 7, the host network.
Yeah.
They were promoting a lot of new shows coming out. So that's where it's lucrative.
That's right, which, of course, is a big part of why they buy sports. So, you know, the tennis is awesome for that. Big Bash is awesome for that. In particular during the summer months.
And the girls taking their clothes off for that strip show that the girls on Channel 7 did. Yeah.
I haven't seen that promo for that.
No, I'll talk to you about it.
I must have missed the meeting.
You must have.
Hey, can you hang around, please? We're going to talk about Mojo. And I also want to talk about your last issue of Gurren Transfer.
Wow.
All right, Russell Howcross is with us.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
MG is going to join us in studio in the next few minutes. Russell Howcroft is with us right now. By the way, Mojo airs tomorrow night, 8:30 on the ABC, and iView joins us in studio now. Russell Howcroft, Kennedy Malloy.
This is your strong suit, I have to say, and a particular interest of yours, Russell, is the jingles, and especially those from the 70s, 80s era. Mm-hmm. Was this a labour of love for you?
Yes, it definitely was.
How did it all come about?
Well, a few years ago when I was at 10, a fella called Mike Stanford and I, who's still at 10, we talk all the time about, oh, wouldn't it be amazing to do a Mojo, actually drama. And, you know, we were imagining Minister John Brown and his office and his desk, and he discovered that the Paul Hogan campaign had, you know, blown American, you know, mines, and all the Americans were flying in. So we'd get excited about that. But then we sort of realised that maybe that might be a bit hard. And so we pitched the idea of doing a documentary. So I said to CJZ, who do Gruen, and then we went to ABC, and the pitch was the two most important voices in Australia since the invasion aren't Banjo Paterson, Henry Lawson, it's Alan Morrison, Alan Johnson. Yes. So a little idea, and then the show sets about trying to prove it. Obviously, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but equally, it's quite fun to prove that that is true.
Can you play us so everyone in our audience is aware? Talk us through the ones we would know, or if you've got some to play us so you can put us in the picture.
Okay. So we're going to play some?
Bodies in their jackets.
Corn on the cob. Meadow leaf. You all to be
congratulated. Training all the winter, and there's not a team that's fitter.
Oh, yeah. Well, right.
And that's the way it's got to be. Because you're up against the best, you know. This is super test, you know. And you've got to beat the best the world has seen. Lily's pounding down like a machine.
It's so happy.
Yeah.
That's a great one. That's a great,
yes. Yeah, it makes me feel good.
Celebration, aspiration. And,
the Windies version with the West Indies guys. Yeah. Well, we've heard London noise
that's
now. Right.
The trailer for this that I've seen is really great. What I love seeing, the incredible stamp of approval that it has, and backing you up yourself, which is a great thing, is Paul Hogan himself.
Yes.
And Delveen Delaney.
Oh, my God, she's unreal, isn't it?
And she's just a fantastic woman. And how important it was and the change, and that, in fact, the ads have put a shrimp on the barbie was the predecessor in many ways to Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, that's right. And the shrimp on the barbie, they tell the commercial story behind that. So prior to Shrimp on the Barbie, Australia was number 70 in terms of the countries that Americans would want to visit, right?
And say too how it came about when Hoag's and Strop, I kept saying Strop because we were all saying that, were in London, so I saw a poster that was crap.
That's right.
A couple of koala bears.
And then they got in touch with Minister Brown. They went out for lunch, and then the whole idea, they got Mojo, they got Strop, yes, and Paul Hogan. And they said, okay, we're going to do this. And then there's a great story that Minister Brown tells around, you know, going to the cabinet and getting the cabinet to agree that basically the spokesperson for Australia was going to be Paul Hogan. Then Hogan tells his great gag about how others wanted Don Lane to be why not Don Lane, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Hawkey comes through with the goods and they all back it in. The other thing which I think is really interesting is just how much money they spend on the production of these ads, you know.
Okay, now did they forego a fee to make sure that the production was right up there?
Yeah, and they knew that it was going to be, you know, you're using the government's money to promote the talent, and they were that clever, weren't they? They were
very smart.
Super, super clever.
What was the demise? So when did Mojo finally go out of vogue, or when did the advertising world pass them by?
Can we fall
in love with the jingle?
Yeah, well, a bit. So there's another documentary in what actually happened to advertising, because you had a 91 recession around the world. A lot of English advertising people came out to Australia because there wasn't work in the UK, and they became very influential within the world of advertising in Australia. And now in England, you do not do jingles. So
They poshed it up, right?
So, you know, you don't have to, you know, you sing about everything. So it sort of became...
We like it.
Yeah, I know, right?
As you said.
Yeah. So it sort of got out of vogue. But then, look, there's recently been the Vegemite jingle, you know, which is, you know, tastes like Australia, which is awesome. And my new favourite is for boating, camping, fishing.
Mine too, boating, camping, fishing.
It's BCF and fun.
Can get stuck in your head though.
We
love a good jingle here in Australia. And Australia gets its mojo, It airs tomorrow night at 8:30 on ABC and iView. But watch it live. Watch it as it goes to air, everybody.
Please.
Support the show.
It'll be great. It's an event. Get on board.
Absolutely. You'll enjoy it. I know everybody will.
And what about Gruen? Are you going to be in sync this week? What are your plans this week?
It wasn't the greatest experience, was it? However.
Are you seeing the funny side? you and Will?
You can imagine.
He would have laughed.
Will would have taken it well. Yes. Listen, it rated great. It was a great episode, and
I'm sure it was a tactic to draw attention to Gruen. And whereas all of a sudden you don't need advertising dollar because you got publicity coming out of your wazoo, and everyone's talking about the return of Gruen.
It's pretty good ratings. It was very good ratings actually, and then that followed obviously Utopia, which is awesome as we all know. But then I got to watch the set for the first time. So It was grown into Utopia, into this show called The Set.
So I'm calling that the new Countdown.
It's the new Countdown.
Yeah, that's a really good show to watch if you want to see.
It was really good.
Live music.
No idea what you're talking about.
Well, it's music.
Check it out.
Live. It's people hosting.
Do yourself a favour.
Saying it's Countdown.
Is the set as Crazy House?
No, it's just a studio. Lots of kids around. Everybody
I'll
getting into it.
I'll see one set in a crazy house.
Okay.
And Dylan Allcott, of course, is there because, you know, Dylan Allcott's everywhere.
He tossed the coin at the grand final.
I know, right? And he's in the set. He's awesome. He was awesome at it. It's just, it's really good. Really
hey, well, that seems
good
like you're encouraging people to watch our ABC. Why not?
Yes. How Australia Got Its Mojo is tomorrow night, 8:30 on the ABC. Russell Howcroft, Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy Noosa.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
A source close to industry, source insiders, our friends of associates, speculation, eyewitnesses.
The Bachelor winner, dumped already?
It's time to call bull.
Hello. This is my segment called I Call BS. Because I can't say the real word because it upsets people.
Mothers in cars, apparently.
Yeah. Children.
Bet you they would have heard worse.
I'm sure they have. Hello. If they're mothers like me, that's for sure. Are you ready?
Yes. What do you got?
Wedding number 3 for Elle Macpherson.
I call bull.
Oh, hang on. Why is that unbelievable?
Sorry. Okay. Let's count them. 1, 2, 3. Apparently. Why can't she just. Anyway. Elle's going
What part of the story
they've seen,
are you
listen
debunking?
To me. It's my segment.
Wow.
Elle Macpherson is displaying a ring, not a big one, quite small actually, almost tiny, and not remarkable. They're saying, is she going to marry anti-vaxxer Andrew Wakefield?
I call bull.
Well, why is that unbelievable?
Because they dated and he's a bit shady, that guy. Well, a bit. Anyway, they've spotted her wearing a ring that I don't think, as someone who's been married to 2 billionaires, accept as an engagement.
That's the only unbelievable thing about it.
That's
He's
true.
Not a billionaire. It's just a dirty, rotten anti-vaxxer.
Okay, next.
They loathe that bunch. If you want to make a complaint, call me here.
The Masked
not
Singer.
Not a fan of your anti-vaxxing.
I'm not a fan of anti-vaxxing either.
Go on record.
Hence my point of saying he's a bit
shady. Had a ring the size of a tennis ball the last time she got engaged.
I don't know how well anti-vaxxers do, but not so well.
Oh,
the Masked Singer exposed.
Has she only had three?
Three.
Was it more than three?
She said two husbands. Three's plenty.
She's not done yet. She'll get a baker's dozen.
But three husbands is getting on, isn't it? Why do you need so many?
You're out there.
Don't be greedy.
Having a go. I'm not going to die wondering.
Just have one.
Put my hand up for number 4.
Here we go. The Masked Singer exposed. It's all faked.
I call bull.
Okay.
Now, people tell me it's not
about?
Fake, but apparently, according to sources.
What do you mean, what part's fake?
That they lip sync and possibly it's not them singing, all of them. So they haven't got just professional singers.
Then
they've
there's officially no point to that show.
Well, there is because people are tuning in their droves.
I reckon recorded, Jane. I reckon they're auto-tuned, some of those ones from last week.
Me too, Dave.
And they're just miming into a microphone as they're on.
Me
why can't
too.
You be happy for people?
I'm happy.
Why can't you be happy for the masked singers?
I'm happy for the success of the show, but do you know who the two unmasked singers were?
No.
And you tell me if... Who's the girl from the US who's the judge on the show?
Lindsay Lohan.
You tell me if Lindsay Lohan knew who Gretel Colleen and Brett Lee were.
I call bull.
But the show by its nature is anticlimactic because everyone's going, oh, it's Shane Warne, it's Shane Warne, it's Shane Warne. You take
how disappointing.
Off. Oh, it's Brett Lee. And you go, you can't do a show that also, disappoints people.
And you can't auto-tune or fake people's voice. They've got to be proper singers. It's called The Masked Singer.
Yeah. Can I put something to you?
Yeah.
If one of them's Conrad Saul, I'm going to lose it.
Why?
He's had a good run. He has had a good run. Enough.
What did you think about him singing a cappella?
He crossed
the grand final.
He crossed a bridge. He tipped it into US national anthem territory by milking it for a good 3 okay. It's a quick game's a good game with the Australian national anthem.
Yep.
And he was out there. Oh, jeez.
All right. I'm getting on to
Let the note go, mate. we want to get this game started. We're not here for a twilight grand final, you idiot.
There's a lot
and
of too vibrato.
Much Conrad Sewell discuss. Yes?
Well, I thought he did milk it a little. I say bring in the band.
He'll be the prawn. We're the prawn.
All right.
I call.
Yeah, that's the segment.
Is it the segment?
Oh, we're done, are we?
I think we're done. Yeah, Mark Geyer is standing by because it's the NRL Grand Final this weekend. Yeah, the Roosters versus the Raiders. MG's going to join
us. Who's singing the anthem? Conrad Saul?
Maybe. We'll find out with MG right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
The preliminary finals begin. Taken by Allen for South. Allen is forced back. Into the end goal. Lost the ball. Followed on by Croker. This is a try. Short pass to Grant. Gets it into Walker. Walker for the line. Ripped the ball out of his hand. Josh Hobson has come up with one of the plays of the season. Bounces back towards the Raiders. Kicked ahead by White. Picked up by White. White gets over in the corner. Now Dewey gets back into the field of play. And then smashed by
Papali. Wow. Oh, my goodness. What a huge story. Josh Papali at the judiciary if the Raiders do make the GM.
Inside
the
Papali. Papali! It's over! Break out the line. Green milk. The Raiders have done it. We are on the way. Oh. Starts with a penalty goal to the Roosters. What a bizarre opening. Here's Tupou. Oh. Tupou goes up. Tupou flips it back to corner. Who takes it and plunges over? Takeo. Tedesco. Tedesco got there. And the Sydney Roosters, just the fourth team in the NRL era, trying to go back-to-back. What a mouth-watering grand final we have. The Raiders against the Roosters.
Wow, there it is. Big results and an even bigger game fronting for the NRL Grand Final this Sunday, starting at 7:30 p.m. Roosters versus Canberra Raiders. Everything on the line. MG is going to talk us through what happened on the weekend and what we can look forward to. MG, is this how you anticipated it coming down?
Hello, Joni. Hello, Mickey. Yeah.
Hey, MG.
Look, the Raiders and Rabbitohs on Friday night, I was lucky enough to be there and calling the game for Triple M, and it was an unbelievable. I don't know whether you guys have heard of the Viking clap that the Raiders do before they run out.
Oh my goodness.
To see it there live for the first time in front of 27,000 people in a packed stadium was just kind of Coliseum-like. And
goosebumps.
Yeah, dead set, honestly. And the Rabbitohs kind of limped into the semi-finals, and they were brave by getting so close to the Raiders, going down 16-10. So then the Raiders had booked their place in Sunday's grand final, but then we had to go to Saturday night between the Roosters and Storm, and everyone thought that these two would play in the grand final. They've been the best two teams all year by a country mile. First tackle, we see two of the big men, Simbin, which was outrageous. In the call there, I heard that Dan Ganang say bizarre. It was more than bizarre there. It's called the filling out process for a reason. You know, the softening up period, we call it in rugby league, for a reason. And for the referee to put him in the bin after one tackle, that kind of deflated the balloon and they kicked the goal. Then that was, you know, it wasn't as good a game as it was Friday night. So now we have the Roosters, who have been the best team all year, along with the Storm, against the Raiders, who have probably been one of the real Cinderella stories of the NRL.
And Storm put themselves in the wrong side of the draw, didn't they, by losing originally to the Raiders. So we might have seen the two play off, but here it is. What chance, Canberra Raiders?
A fighter's chance, Mickey. You know, they're in the big one. You know, I think unlike what we saw in the AFL with the Tigers ran a rough shot over the GWS Giants, I think we're going to see a bit more of a contest this time around. I think that the Raiders... ironically, the last time the Raiders won the comp was 1994, when their now coach, Ricky Stewart, was playing in that same team. So here we are 25 years later, and you feel like destiny may be on Raiders' side because they're such a good story. But then you look at the other side of the field, and this Roosters team are just so good. They're so dramatic in everything they do. All across the field, there's no weaknesses. They're so professional. It's going to take a really good team to beat the Roosters on the weekend, but I give the Raiders a real fighting chance.
It'd be a fairy tale for Cooper Cronk, who is retiring. Of course, he played for Melbourne Storm, but being the Roosters, could this be one of the great moments for him?
Well, you'd think so, Janie. I was lucky enough when in 91, when I won the competition, our captain, Roy Simmons, he went out on the note of we won the grand final. I think Mal Meninga's done it. Some players are lucky enough to have that fairy tale. I think Cooper Cronk, if he does it and wins a comp. This is, I think this is his fourth. I think he's had nine. He's been in nine grand finals and won something like five. Right.
Okay. When I think of Canberra Raiders, I think of Mel Meninga and that era. Is this the first time they've had a real crack since
big Halcyon time days? Yeah. It is, Mickey. Mate, they've been in the wilderness until this last 18, you know, to 2 years, 18 months to 24 months, where the influx of Englishmen have come over. And Ricky Stewart, their coach, I must say, has reinvented himself, because he used to be cranky and always.
Well, what changed?
He just hangs in there, Ricky Stewart.
I think he must be having some origin
coaching. He's gone from club to club, and you go, heck, I couldn't believe it. I go, he's popped up again, but he's coaching very well.
He is, and I think because he's relaxed, Mickey. I think he found a way to sell Canberra, because it's a very hard sell to a rugby league player coming to Canberra and play, because it's minus five in winter, and it's not much, you know, in summer it gets to 55. So, and so what he did, he went to England, and no one really thought about going to England and getting these players over here, but he got Josh Hodgson, their hooker now, and then he got this year John Bateman, who's probably the buyer of the year. He's got another Englishman coming next year. He's already got Axel Whitehead there, who's a fantastic player. So the Englishmen have what has brought the Raiders to life. They're a really close-knit team, and that'll get them a long way in a grand final. And I think on the weekend, I'm thinking it's going to be a Raiders victory. I really do.
Is it too late for him to try and get Israel Folau? He said he's keen to get back into the NRL. Can we squeeze him in by Sunday?
I think GWS want him back.
AMG, you're fired up for One Republic. That's the pre-match entertainment US pop band.
Tell me you don't love them, Janie. Janie, you love One Republic.
Of course
Republic,
I love them. Yes. Of course I'm
you could be in a boy band. We just pop MG on the end and let you go.
I've got to say, the way that the NRL stages their grand finals, they do a brilliant job. We can't wait to watch it.
I'll tell you what else does a
great
job.
If I only die once, you've got something I need.
Hey, MG's gone bye-bye.
Triple M NRL grand final coverage. They do the best.
Baby, I'll see you in a karaoke bar, MG.
Sydney from 12 p.m, Brisbane 11 a.m.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
It is indeed. Thanks to Makita. You can find all your authorised dealers at makita.com.au.
I tell you what, you know I love Makita.
You do.
I also love the people behind Makita, who I had the pleasure of meeting.
At the grand final.
Really?
How brilliant.
And it was largely positive. I think some of your stuff's a bit right.
What about me?
Look, they know we love Makita.
We do. Makita's everything to us.
It's going to be hard to see them go. It's been a great 3.5 weeks. We've played some great songs, Makita songs. Have you got a couple of them there?
Got a brand new one to debut for the first time on Kennedy Malloy. Okay. So check this out.
Makita! Makita! Oh, they'll love that one.
They'll love that.
Because I was looking at how beautifully manicured the MCG was on the weekend.
Right. Looks beautiful.
Looks like it'll be Makita'd.
Yes. Have you done any lead up to, you know, your match day game plan before you went to the MCG to watch your beloved Tigers win? Did you do any brush cutting with your cordless brush cutter or any hedge trimming?
Not really.
At night time?
None that I can remember. It wouldn't have been good for me to do it after. I was looking at how beautiful the MCG looked. I mean, it's been Makita'd.
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
It's been Makita'd within an inch of its life.
But it's
just
not
had that outdoor cathedral.
Well, it's quite elite.
You know, when you're in the great outdoors and you've got Makita in your hand, it's like an extension of your own arm, and you're taking on nature and leading nature a merry dance. Yeah, cop that, nature! Here comes Makita. Wooshka, wooshka.
Well, who'd want a cord to ruin the whole look of it?
Well, you have no cord, so you are effectively free range. There's nothing I can't do.
No.
Oh, there's nothing.
I come around and do your joint in the middle of the night. You'll get up and wait in the morning and
that
your
would surprise
hedge
me
will
a lot.
Like a big...
Yeah, careful, don't talk about
boobs.
My hedge, thanks.
Okay.
All right. Well, to find your nearest dealer, you go to Makita.
Like ice sculpture with me with my hedge trimmer. I'll Zorro it. That's what I'll do.
That would be scary.
I'll put a big M in it for Makita.
Yeah, all right.
I love you, Makita.
Yeah, we do.
It really is the best in the business.
It is. Thank you, Makita,
I'd
for
go
making
the brush
us
cutter,
feel good.
I'd go the hedge trimmer.
Yeah.
I'd go the turbo blower.
Sure.
And everybody, I'd go to makita.com.au to find your authorised dealer. Go
Come
now.
On. You're Thanks. An idiot if you don't.
Thanks, Makita.
Stupid.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Who are you talking about?
No, that's what you said.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Did you want to hear that again?
Oh, can we please? This is just to tell you how on the ball Mick Malloy is. I think he's still in the afterglow of Richmond's
win. Who
cares?
Mick's on the couch.
Honestly cares.
Full side at Noosa.
This is what happened live on air on our show.
On the way up, I saw people on flights, the Veronicas.
Who are you talking to?
I'm on air.
Oh.
Mick's... real professional outfit here. Mick sitting on the couch, not realising we're on the radio. That's clamor. Unbelievable.
I put it to you, had a great weekend.
Oh, you're so
yeah. really, I'm still not,
I love this, Mickey.
I still haven't completely come back from what is
I'm
one
so
of the great
you,
weekends
great.
Of my life.
Yep. Mm.
Fantastic. People have been asking me about an interview we did the other day with Liam Gallagher. If we get a little bit we could play of that, please. No, this is possibly our favourite moment of talking to a fully...
yeah. Talking about the song Shockwave that he recorded
fully
for the
new album. Rock star.
Yeah, here he is.
Your new single. Tell us where it came from, how you wrote it, what you're doing at the time.
So I was in LA with my boys writing some songs and that's how it happens. And then I went home.
It's a fascinating insight.
It really is. Hey, by the way, we've got the podcast of our chat with Liam, which you can get from kennedymalloy.com.au.
He's true rock and roll.
You enjoy yourselves in Noosa tonight. We've got Anne Edmonds on the show
tomorrow.
Another Kennedy Malloy catch-up, powered by Makita's cordless power garden range. More power and less noise with one battery across Makita's range of over 200 tools.